Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so while we are waiting on Warren to log in, we are going to go ahead and get focused on, I don't know what that is, and yeah, all right, you guys, you're asking questions, hold on, we're getting started, I promise. So there we go. I'm excited about today. Hi, I'm Victorian Russell Walton, IITG Seasoned Sister Speak, nickname aka Maryland's Big Diva. So we are talking today about IBS, and that is a subject that a lot of people are dealing with that don't even know they're dealing with. So we're going to talk about that, stomach issues. How to combat it, what we can do about it, what are the symptoms of it, and what foods should you stay away from. I know that it is the holidays, and with the holidays, people tend to eat foods that they normally won't eat because Big Mama is down and she's cooking, and a lot of times we'll just go live on that one. They will just eat a lot of fried foods, a lot of unhealthy foods, because that's what we cook for a lot of the holidays, right? So we are excited about having this conversation. Warren is going to join us momentarily. So while we are waiting on Warren to join us, hi, Marcus. Hi, everybody on all social media platforms. Again, thank you for watching and sharing later and having a discussion about it, because a lot of times we don't like to talk about going to the bathroom and we don't like to talk about pooping, but it's a natural thing that we need to have a discussion about. But while we're waiting, let's get the commercials out of the way, okay? So I've got a pile down here today. So the first thing I want to make sure everybody pays attention to are emergency recalls. There are a lot of food recalls, people, that you need to pay attention to, and you need to make sure that you check your cabinets, that you don't have it in your cabinets. First thing we want to shout out is our local radio station, The Voice, great supporters of the community, great supporters of IITG and Seasoned Sister Speak, always doing great things in the community. So The Voice, radio and newspaper with Dr. McNabb writing in it, and sometimes Warren Green, we're excited about that. So make sure you pick up your copy and pay attention to the write-ups in the newspaper. We also want to shout out Mississippi Chapter of Fannie Lou Hamer. Breast Cancer Foundation doing a lot of great things in the community, making sure that people there are getting what they need to be survivors. That is so important to me, and it's so personal for me, especially as a two-time breast cancer survivor. I want to make sure that people understand what their resources are in their community, what they're doing in their community, how they can get help. Now, a lot of times there's not a lot of help in the community. However, we supported each other before we even went out and did solicitations in the community. We asked each other to help. We did the fish fries. We baked the pies. We made the cakes. We sold the dresses. You know, we shined the shoes. We supported each other, and we made sure that everybody had enough of what they needed to be successful. So we're excited about supporting them and being a part of their community and being a part of their village, if you will. So let's get the rest of the shout-outs out. Make sure you reach out to us in reference to what we're doing next year. A lot of big secrets coming out. We will be emailing that shortly. One of them, again, is working with the Fannie Lou Hamer Breast Cancer Foundation in Mississippi. We'll also be tiptoeing over to Kentucky. We're excited about these relationships because as we build these relationships, we're able to do more in the community and assist more. So we are, again, excited. We can't wait. And we are going to make sure we keep everybody abreast. Hi, everybody, with what we're doing in the community. So live chat, good. So Warren has not checked in yet, but that's not a problem. We are going to, as they say, the show must go on. Hold on, there's Warren. Hi, Warren.
Not hearing.
I'm sorry? Okay, look for the second email I sent to you. All right, and we're waiting for you live. Okay, so look, hey, that's what happens on the IITG Season Sister Speak. We're trying to get our guests in. Not for sure what's going on, but we're waiting for them. But let's jump into this because the hour goes by so fast. And today we are talking about IBS. And IBS is one of those things that they say happens more frequently to those over 50. I don't think so, but, you know, they say it happens to people over 50, and it's triggered by a lot of times two things. So IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, okay, which I call AKA a weight loss program, is triggered by a couple of things. So the two major triggers are stress and food, okay? So let's talk about that stress thing, because right about now we're all going through anxiety. We are all having to deal with some type of issue, whether it's family, whether it's finances, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. Some of us, it might be our children. We had a recent shooting where parents did not know it was going to be the last time they saw their child alive. So now we hear a lot of parents say, well, Vicki, I don't want to send my son to school because I don't know if that'll be the last time I'll see him. But you can't live by fear. All right, so all of these things are triggering our system and kind of making our body react negatively. Because remember, your body reacts to the good and your body reacts to the bad. All right, so let's talk about the stress and the food. One of the things that can assist your stomach with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, believe it or not, is insoluble fiber. And fiber that does not absorb or break down with water. It passes through your digestive system, closed in the same form, and it sticks and turns to gel-like systems in your digestive system. You know what else I noticed that will do that other than beans? Corn. If you notice, corn does not break down in your body.
Isn't that something? Have you ever had a bowel movement and, like, a couple of days later you see the corn? Okay. I'm able to locate it, looking for the session. I'm sorry, people are having problems chiming in, and I don't know why, but let's see if we can fix. Okay, so let's see. I'll just go live, and hopefully you guys can chime in from there. All right, so we should all be live on all social media. Sorry, everyone, for the hiccup. I'm Victoria Russell Walton coming to you live, and we're discussing today IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And irritable bowel syndrome is almost like a weight loss program when your stomach just empties out. I honestly believe I got it after my chemo, because that's really when my stomach started acting up. But the two trigger factors, and we'll go over this last time, is stress, as they say, and food. So we were talking about how anxiety can affect your body and how anxiety can make your body out of whack. It can. All the stresses that we deal with right now, all negativity can negatively impact your body and make your body react. You know, sometimes when you get anxious, you get nervous and you shake and your mind quivers and you get confused and you get irritated. All of those things affect your gut, the good and the bad. The same way chocolate cake makes you feel good, anxiety makes your body feel tense and upset. I know a lot of times when I feel anxiety, I'll tell my husband I need a hug, or I'll go for a walk, or I'll turn the music on. Believe it or not, I'll either get my shake on or I'll just dance around and be silly just to get I tell my son, it's to get the wiggles out, right? So I am, I hope you guys can locate it now. So, and that's what we do. We get the wiggles out, and we try to make sure that, okay, we lost. I don't know what's going on. I think it's because it's raining in the DMV, and that's where I'm at. So I apologize to everyone that's having problems logging in, but you'll be able to see this later on and hopefully share it. Okay, because this is saying that we are experiencing problems. All right, everybody's commenting. So, okay, we've got people coming on camera, so that looks like that part is okay. But if you have any questions, type them in. I'm paying attention to all the questions. So, irritable bowel syndrome. So, stress and food. Now, look, we just got finished with Thanksgiving. We're getting ready to segue into Christmas. So, we know that these two things, we eat foods that are not healthy for us. We eat foods that are our fans' favorite because, you know, it feels good to us. It feels good to our stomach. It feels good to our endorphins that we, you know, eat, just like we just said. Eating chocolate cake makes you feel good. Eating banana pudding makes you feel good. Eating all of those foods that we know are not good for us are sometimes, you know, what we tend to eat a lot better. And you know, you can have anything in moderation, but when you overdo it, that's when you have a problem, okay? So you always want to make sure you eat in moderation. So let's go. Also, eating fried foods. Let's talk about that. Eating fried foods to me is a no-no anyway. But eating fried foods can be another barrier and another issue for having your stomach react and not in a positive way. All right, we're going to try to, we're going to try to bring them on, but I don't see them. I'm sorry. And, And then we talked about having fiber. So some fibers you can't eat because your body can't break them down. Like I said, corn. Your body does not break down corn. You'll still see corn as a whole kernel moving through your intestines. Remember, you have upper intestines and you have lower intestines. So moving in between those two tracks is a long journey. And think about it. From the time you put it in your mouth until the time you get it in your stomach, until the time it expels out of your body, it is still a whole kernel. Your body is not breaking it down. So to me, is that one of those things that you need to take off your list for diet? Yes. That's one of the things you should take off the list for diet. Now, let's go to the next one, dairy products. We've talked about dairy products before. Eating dairy products can become problematic because it has a higher fat content, which can cause diarrhea, a.k.a. weight loss program, right? We've all experienced that ice cream that went, as we say, right through us, or we experienced the cheese that upset our stomach, or just having milk with your cereal or with your coffee. All of those things can make your stomach react and make your stomach kick out what they think shouldn't be in there. Because that really is what diarrhea is kicking out all of the bad that they're thinking, uh-oh, this should not be in my stomach, all right? So that's one of the things that we're going to do when it comes to eating dairy products. Your body will just say, nope, don't want it. It needs to get out of here. We got to go. And that's what happens. I'll answer your questions. I promise I will. We're going to go through IBS and what caused the trigger for food, and then we're going to talk about how we think we can assist you with making it a little better, especially during the holidays. So gluten foods containing gluten like rye, wheat, and barley are common allergies that defend the disease. So your autoimmune system disease, when occurs someone with gluten allergies, eats something with gluten in it, and it triggers an irregular immune response. Meaning it does not like what you, again, you put in there. Your body will not tolerate what it does not like and what it will not, what it can't break down. So what it will do is it will kick out what you are eating. It will kick out what it can't break down. So it will, it won't allow it to stay in there because it doesn't belong in there, or it thinks it doesn't belong in there. Hey, so we're talking about IBS, and we're having some technical difficulties, and I believe it's because of the rain. I'm not for sure what's going on with Warren. Warren said he's experiencing difficulties trying to get into the call. So I'm going to, you know, send him a quick link. And I'm not for sure what's going on down in Virginia Beach, but down in Virginia Beach, they were having some rain. So we're going to send this out once more because I love it when Warren is on here with me to answer questions. And, hey, look, these things happen. So, you know, sometimes we have a flawless show and sometimes we have technical difficulties, but we always go through to get through, and that's what we'll do now. Hey, Joan. Hi, Michael. Hi, Timothy. Hi, Marcus. Hello, Sierra Leone. Hi, Japan. Hello, Mississippi. Hi, D.C. Hi, Kentucky. Hello, California. Hello, oh, Barbados and Jamaica. Hey, send me some blue water and some sand. I could go for that right now. So right now we're waiting on Warren to get his connection back in. But in the meantime, let's talk about IBS, what causes it, what triggers it, what we can do about it to combat it, and how to make it better. Warren will chime in when Warren chimes in. How about that? So let's get back because you guys already have a lot of questions. So, yes, I did just mention fried foods, and I'm so sorry, but fried foods is one of those things on the list that we should not have as often. Now let me tell you a little bit more. So you can have anything in moderation, right? You can have a small piece. You just can't have it every day, and you can't have it all day, and you can't have it, you can't have everything fried. Like if you're going to have a small piece of fried chicken, okay, but don't have fried chicken, fried French fries, you know, fried, now you can get macaroni and cheese fried in a ball, you know, and, oh, okay, and you can also put it in your air fryer. there are some wonderful recipes where you can put these things in your air fryer and coat it with some olive oil. And what you do is you put it in the air fryer with cornflakes. You have cornflakes, and cornflakes will give you that crunch, because really what we're looking for is the crunch. It's not even the point of it being fried. It's really the crunch that we're looking for. So there's so many great recipes out there when it comes to using your oven fryer and baking it, because the bottom line is it's all about us being healthy and whole, right? It's all about us trying to make sure that we give our body, our temple, the best that we can give it, okay? Because let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than being sick, but there's nothing worse than you making yourself sick. So we can do different things to combat our bodies being destroyed by what we're doing to it. So another thing that we can talk about is the risk factors. So what are the risk factors when it comes to IBS, irritable bowel syndrome? So most of the time it happens to people under the age of 50. Most are females in the United States. IBM is more common among women. They think because of the estrogen therapy before and after menopause also is a risk factor for IBS. Having a family history of IBS, genes, I always say that's what the name of my business is. It's in the genes. It plays a role and may factor in family environment or combination of genes and environment. Having anxiety, listen, depression, and other mental health issues, a history of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse also may be a factor. But did you hear the first three? Anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. And let me tell you why I'm going to stop right there. The stress and the mental stress that we put on our bodies, again, your body will tell you when it's stressed. Your body will tell you when there's an issue. Your body will tell you when it doesn't feel well. Your body will tell you when it needs something. Your body will often react to what you're giving it and what you're doing to it. So if a lot of times when we are feeling anxiety and stressed out, what do? We stress eat. Sometimes it doesn't even matter what it is. We just want something to make us feel better, right? So that could be chocolate. That can be popcorn. That can be, you know, cookies. That can be potato chips. Why don't you switch it? And I noticed for me, when I'm sitting at my computer, I was doing this. It didn't even matter what it was. I was just eating. But then I cut up celery, and I started eating celery. My body felt good because I was giving it something, because really I was bored. And then, I mean, at one point I was eating ice. I love to eat chewed ice. I'm sorry, little small pieces of cubed ice. I love to eat ice. No calories, so you can't say anything bad about it, right? But start monitoring and journaling what you eat, and you will soon find out what some of your issues may be. If you notice on the day your stomach acts up because of ice cream, then, you know, change your ice cream or don't have so much, have a little. Or if you notice your body is having major problems because of dairy products, ice cream is a dairy product, but I'm also talking about cheese and milk, then switch that around. If you are also noticing issues when it comes to your body reacting to whatever it is you had that day, then you make a note of that and you make adjustments. You adjust and you make sure that you're giving your body needs what it needs to live, because you're eating to live. You're not, thank you, you're eating to live. You're not living to eat, and that is the difference. That is the difference when you're eating your food. You have to remind yourself, I want to live to be 80 or 90. Well, the way this world is going, I want to live until God comes back. And whenever he comes back, I want to go with him. But if it's after 80, I'm okay with still being here. But I want to live until if he comes back before then. I want to get on that Holy Ghost chariot, okay? But we want to give our bodies what we need. Some of us get in our 60s and 70s and 80s, and our bodies are so broken down because of smoking. of drinking, because of stress, because of obesity, because of so many things. So if you start taking care of your body now, you won't run into those issues, and you can focus on the good instead of focusing on what hurts your body, what ails your body, what's breaking your body, what you can, in your 70s, look like a model and not lose your hair, not go bald, and not give your body again what it needs to strengthen and go through every day what we've got to go through, right? So those are a couple of the risk factors, not all of them and not limited to, but a couple of the risk factors. And some of the, we just went over this, complications could be the poor quality of life. And many people with moderate to severe IBS report poor quality of life, and that means you're not taking care of your body. Research indicates that people with IBS miss 3 times as many days from work as those without bowel syndrome issues. Now, look, we're all, most of us are working from home anyway, but if you weren't working, you're missing, you know, 3 times more. That's money cut out of your pocket. And that's also stress on your body. When you have diarrhea, it's just not your stomach. It's also your body. You're losing nutrients and minerals that your body needs. You're also mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, and now you've got to put back in what your body has expelled and taken out. That at times can be challenging because I had someone tell me they don't like Gatorade. Well, Gatorade and Powerade and those things are great resources for putting the minerals back into your body. So is bone broth, okay? So is, in bone broth, you have to look at the sodium intake because the sodium intake can be a little high. But look at those things and make sure that those are things that you can do to combat this. And I hear you guys. I'm not for sure what's going on with Warren, but we're going to call him and get him on the phone and put him on the speaker because Warren can contribute to this. And hi, Warren. We're just gonna conference you in.
Okay, because I'm trying on all of my devices.
It's all good, Warren, as long as we can hear your voice. So we're talking about IBS, and I went over what causes it, some of the triggers for it, how we can repair it. So I'm gonna just leave it up to you so that you can break down IBS, and then let's talk about how we can repair the damages of IBS.
Irritable bowel syndrome is from, of course, it's diet related. And it usually comes from fatty acids and stuff, and inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, inflammation. And inflammation usually comes from omega-6, omega-9, but they're inflammatory. So you have to start reducing those kind of fatty acids. And irritable bowel syndrome can lead to leaky gut syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things that can happen with irritable bowel syndrome.
Right.
So we have to correct it. And the best way to correct it is to correct your diet.
Yeah.
Now, I'm reading up on it, it tells me that fiber, you probably want to do fiber because it might cause bloating and so forth and so on, and irritate a little more. So you're going to have to get away from that. I suggest, like I'm doing now, I think diet now. Well, in January and February, that's when I do. That's when I try to eliminate anything that might cause me harm, that might not be good for me. And that's what I think anybody with irritable bowel syndrome to start thinking about. Look up what kind of diet you can do and stick to it for 30 days. See how you like it. See how you feel. If you feel okay, then expand it out for another month.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. It can only repair itself. There's no medication they can give you. There's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you fix it. You must fix it yourself, and you must fix it with your diet. And like I was telling you, Vicky, the other day,
mm-hmm.
you have to start taking a log of what you're putting in your body,
right.
Everything you're putting in your body.
You're right, Warren. You have to keep a log, and that's what we were discussing earlier, so that you can retract. Well, what happened on Tuesday? What did I eat on Tuesday that made my body and my stomach and my bowels explode?
What did I eat, you know, on Wednesday that made my stomach so upset? So keeping a journal so that you can go over it, as you stated, like with your doctor, so you can distress, you can express, excuse me, what the issues were, what you ate that day, instead of you trying to figure out, well, what did I eat that day? Was it, no, I had that on Thursday, I had that on Monday. You can now have a journal and discuss it, and for you to see what went wrong, what you ate that made your body so upset. So I love the fact of journaling, Warren, a food journal.
He can only work with the information that you give him.
Right.
And if you don't know what you ate the day before, because it takes about 48 to 72 hours for that stuff to get through,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what caused it.
So very true. Especially if you're so busy and unless you eat the same thing every day. And Warren, I want you to talk a little bit about fried foods, because I'm suggesting they air fry for those who need that crunchiness, because that seems to be one of the questions. You know, people don't want to give up their fried foods, especially during the holidays. But, you know, you're eating to live. You're not living to eat. That's why some of y'all can't walk to the door right now. I'm going to talk about you because I love you. And I've seen so many people that have been in the house, Warren, that have picked their weight up. They're, you know, they lost weight. They were doing great. And now, you know, they're back up to, you know, whatever their weight was before the pandemic. And you have to have control. You have to not stress eat. I know that's easier said than done, but you're going to have to find alternative ways of eating healthy. Eat ice. Eat celery. Eat pop some popcorn. I mean, what are your suggestions, Warren?
Well, fried foods heats up oil, and the fatty acid is going to be the culprit. And heated oil changes even a polyunsaturated oils,
mm-hmm.
changes it to saturated. So you can't use it. You
yeah.
can't fry, and if you, I mean, I know you want to fry. I fry myself, and
yeah.
I fry, period. But you can't.
Yeah.
You just can't. Just going to have to go for a while. Go for 30 days without it. See
mm-hmm.
if you can live for 30 days without frying food and see what happens. And if you feel better, then you know you have to eliminate that from your diet. Like I said, I choose this time of year after the holidays, what you want, and
mm-hmm.
so I choose this time of year to try to fix my diet.
Yeah.
I call it optimizing my diet. I eliminated carbohydrates to the extent that I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
I eliminated dairy. Irritable bowel syndrome, you can't do dairy at all. So your body can't process it. So you can't do dairy.
Oh, wow. At all?
At all.
Not even in my coffee?
The literature said do dairy.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But most cultures can't do dairy anyway. They can't process dairy.
Yeah.
Particularly African Americans. Asians can't do dairy.
Hmm.
Africans in Africa can't do dairy. They can't do it. Their body can't handle it. So it's going to be inflammatory if you put it in your body.
Wow, Warren. And, you know, most people don't understand that. So break that down. Why can't we do it?
Well, we can't tolerate it. Our body can't process it. We don't have the DNA to process it, really. Well, it's all about DNA. We don't have our DNA. The Scandinavians are the only culture in the world. They have the DNA to process them.
Really?
And they don't get a lot of sun, you know. It's a cold territory, and so they are the only culture on Earth that can process it. No other people on Earth really can process dairy. Now you can tolerate it a little bit. Now it's everything.
No other food in the world is pizza. Right.
I mean, if you do dairy, that's going to be your demise.
Really, Warren? But can, okay, so here's the question.
feeds it you because it's in, you're getting inflammation every time you eat it.
But what about non-dairy? Is that better? Is it healthier?
Yeah, plant-based. Usually it's better. It's got to be better.
Plant-based.
I went almond, coconut, soy. All of that is better than animal. The animals are getting more and more scarce. And if you've ever been on a dairy farm, you can see you really don't. You really might not want to ingest that.
Yeah. Thank you, Warren. Yeah, you always scare me when we get started talking about meat. That's always a disgusting subject. But, however, Warren, tell them who you are and give them your credentials. Now, look, people, I bring people on this show with receipts. We're not just sitting up here in my living room having a discussion because we don't have anything else to do. I'm a chronic disease educator, two-time breast cancer survivor, and now COVID survivor. I've got certificates. I've got plaques. I've got awards. I know what I'm talking about, but when I don't know what I'm talking about, I bring people in my circle who do. Warren Green, tell them who you are.
Okay. My name again is Warren Green. Mm-hmm. I retired from the USDA Food Safety Inspection Service. So we looked at all kinds of foods. I have a degree in nutrition, a degree in nutrition, and my whole career has been, I came up from grassroots, from an inspector with New York State Department of Agriculture to the USDA to Washington, where we made the rules.
Okay. Warren Green, he also writes for the newspaper. It was the Albemarle, and now it's The Voice. You can always catch him on Facebook. And if not, you can always reach out to me, Victorian Russell Walton, a.k.a. Maryland's Big Diva, always on some type of social media doing something in the name of chronic disease education and getting us healthy. So we're not just, again, sitting up here because we don't have anything else to do. We know what we're talking about, and we're trying to get the community healthy. Now, one of the questions was, I'm going to eat fried food. There's no way around it. Help me. I just told you to use an air fryer. You can use your air fryer.
The problem is
tell them, Warren,
fatty acids in the animal gets heated. Mm-hmm. And when it gets heated, even unsaturated fats or monounsaturated fats, what happens is the heat breaks it down. That's why olive oil is so good, because olive oil doesn't break all the way down into a saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
The saturated fat becomes omega 6 or 9. That's inflammatory. It's gonna inflame. It's gonna, and your body can't handle it, and it's gonna tell you by causing pain.
Hmm.
Now they have all kind of medicines on the market, Prilosec, Tums, all kind of stuff that people take, you know, to override the warning system. The warning system is you get pain. That, as you have inflammation, your body's telling you, you don't need this in my, we don't like it. And if you do it anyway and you bypass that, well, you know that you're going to have problems. You're begging for problems.
Okay. Okay, I see everybody's questions. This is great. I love it when you ask questions because it lets me know you're paying attention and you really want to learn, because that's why we're really here. And it also makes me feel great because it's like, okay, my village is listening. My people are listening. We're going to get whole and healthy together. So the next question is, Warren, drinking hot tea or drinking a hot beverage after dinner or whatever foods I eat, will that help flush it down, or does it matter when it comes to the list of food Vicky spoke of?
No, well, it's the chemicals in the food that's the problem.
Right.
And here's what some people do. If you go into a restaurant, they'll give you water, you'll eat, you wash it down. You wash down carbohydrates when you eat. You eat something and then you wash it down. You don't even chew it properly. And there's enzymes in your saliva that break down carbohydrates. It breaks it down. It starts the digestive process in your mouth while you're chewing.
Mm.
bypass that, then and you allow the carbs to get all the way to your liver to handle it, it overwhelms the liver. So the liver's going to say, well, what are we going to do with this? We're going to store it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's where obesity comes in. Because you didn't chew your food like our parents told us when we were big, mm-hmm. chew your food thoroughly. We didn't do that. You bypassed it. You lycopene is the name of the enzyme in your saliva that breaks down carbohydrates. You want to break that down, you know, because sometimes, well, glucose, you know what, it causes, you know, the carbohydrates going to turn into glucose. You don't want it to get into glucose right away. Because that gets into your blood, where your type 2 diabetes, all sorts of things happen when this stuff gets in there and your liver can't process it. It's too much.
If
you leave all the load of processing glucose on your liver, you're going to have a problem.
Wow. Did you guys hear that? Did everybody hear that? This is some great stuff. And, yes, we're going to get to most of the questions, but I'm Victoria Russell Walton, and you're listening to IITG Season Sister Speak with my co-host, Warren Green, and we're talking today about IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome, what causes it, what are some of the things you can do to combat it. Stress levels and foods are what we really are going to discuss. And how to fix this thing, because, again, the holidays bring on all the unhealthy foods. It does. And some of you just eat unhealthy, period. So what we want to do is change the mindset to get the body back up and healthy. As Warren said, if you stop something for 30 days, once you stop that for 30 days, you don't have to deal with it anymore because your body will not crave it. You can get rid of it. And it is a mindset. We know that. So let's talk about this. Warren, I don't chew my food like Warren said. I swallow. What can I do to help me chew? I mean, come on, really? We're adults. You chew. You chew your food.
That's where your dentist, all of that comes into play. And I know, and I've certainly been negligent, I understand. But now I understand it, and I understand why, because all of these things are interrelated, all of these systems in our body, digestive system, immune system, all of them are interrelated. So for all of them to work properly, they all have to be functioning properly. And as you get older, it becomes more and more difficult, more and more about. I mean, when you think about it, if you sit down at your Christmas dinner and everybody's eating the same thing, well, unless everybody's the same age, that doesn't make any sense. If you got a 9-year-old child who needs a lot of protein, problem and a 5-year-old who needs a lot of dairy because he's building calcium, and grandpa's there, and he shouldn't be eating the same thing. His diet has to be designed for him. And him doesn't need a whole, he's not growing a whole lot of, he's not growing anymore. He's in the lag period of his life, and so he's not growing. He's just restoring. He doesn't need all the protein and stuff, but that's going to be hard on the liver and everything else. He doesn't need all of the dairy. What do you need dairy for? In fact, what do you need dairy for after your mother weans you?
You don't.
Just think about that. There's no reason. If it's only taste, that's not a good enough reason. Anything. These food scientists can make anything taste good. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including fecal material. It doesn't.
Yeah. That's so disgusting, Warren. Every time
you
say that.
I know, but they can make anything. They can extract a taste profile out of anything.
Yeah.
They know what it tastes like, and they can put it into anything.
You're right.
So you have to really be a lot more diligent on what you're putting in your body. You just have to.
Right. So let's talk about plant-based. We've talked about that a little bit. So I recently am enjoying plant-based because of my husband. My husband switched most of our meat to plant-based, and I didn't know it, and it tastes really great. At first, I was like, there's no seasoning in this. So then he kind of hooked it up with whatever he's in the kitchen doing. But it works better for my stomach. It does. I love the tofu and the soy. So the question is around tofu and soy. Warren, what's your opinion about tofu and soy?
Well, tofu is soy, but the thing about soy that it's here nor there, the science is still out, But soy looks like estrogen.
Okay.
With body. So, you know what kind of problems that might cause.
Right.
They even suggest that you do soy milk and so forth if you're going through menopause.
Okay.
So the softens the menopause.
Okay.
But that's what's happening with soy.
With soy.
But
okay.
Soy is, you know, we don't do a lot of manufacturing of it here. It goes to, usually we grow it here. They process it in China or someplace and bring it back here. But all of the the worst plant base is better than any meat, as far as I'm concerned. I was a meat inspector for 20 years. I really understand meat. I really love meat. But the worst plant based stuff is better than any meat.
Okay.
All meat is going to be. You just can't process it. And now I can't even attest to its safety anymore.
Wow.
And I'm out of the business.
Wow. That's disheartening. That's scary and disheartening. But we knew that.
The meat lobby and the food lobby are very powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether anybody, maybe it's me because I'm older, but I remember when it used to be fish on Friday.
Yeah.
Where it was a religious thing to eat fish on Friday.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, that was lobbied away.
Okay.
Think about that. Think of this powerful, powerful, powerful lobby that was able to change the mind of all the Catholics in the world.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That's what's happening. So it's about me and so forth, and you just can't. You have to. Your body really working hard to process it. We have all of these synthetic substances in our diets now and so forth and so on, and the body don't even know what it is. You know, you're putting it in, and the body says, well, no, I don't recognize this. Well, what do I do with it? Well, I'll store it.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to say, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about intermittent fasting, because I think that's very important, because if you're always if your body's always digesting,
uh-huh.
That's going to be a problem.
So let's talk about intermittent fasting and tell them what it is for those who don't know what that is.
Well, it's a system of fasting,
mm-hmm.
because fasting is critical, and you should fast. Everybody should fast, and you do fast. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they call it breaking the fast
mm-hmm.
in the morning. But it takes 24 to 48 hours, 48 to 72 hours for food to get through your body. So if you fast for, say, 12 hours, let your body adjust and let your body just reacclimate. They find it beneficial. And so beneficial that if you reduce your caloric intake in later weeks, coupled with intermittent fasting,
mm-hmm.
it'll prolong your life.
Wow. So look, fasting, and I want to talk about a part of this that that I'm having a problem with. I don't drink decaf coffee, but I was told decaf coffee will act as a laxative if you have issues with IBS. Now, I drink coffee all day. I'm a coffeeholic, especially chocolate coffee with chipotle peppers in it. That is my favorite. Oh, my goodness. I'll drink that all day long. But my understanding is the decaf acts as a laxative. But to me, Warren, I would think regular coffee would make IBS react and not decaf.
Well, see, you're a cancer survivor. And coffee is a bean. It's a plant.
Right. It's a bean.
So we know that it has properties that mitigate cancer. That's absolute.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, so you might wonder. I don't have any problem with coffee or
mm-hmm.
tea. You know, beverages made out of plants.
Right.
Well, that's going to be good for you. So I think that considering what kills you in this country, that's not going to harm.
Yeah, everything else.
That's going to be beneficial. So
okay.
That would be a beverage I would think. I would never drink a soda. I think I would stop that.
Especially a dark-colored soda. We all know that flavoring is cancerous.
I wouldn't think a soda has no nutritional value at all.
No.
So I don't know that it's not beneficial at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nothing. If you want to drink something, drink the fruit.
Yeah.
But soda has no nutritional value. Empty calories. And you don't want that. You don't want your body to have to work for nothing.
And that's what happens a lot of times while we feel, you know, I had one of my clients tell me, Vicki, I just feel yucky. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, I don't know. I just feel yucky. And I said, well, what did you eat? Well, it was cookies. It was cookies. It was chips. It was nothing but junk. And I said, so have you had vegetables this week? I can't remember the last time I had a vegetable. Okay, I said, so what did you eat yesterday? And we went through a list of what she ate. Warren, for 2 weeks straight, it was nothing but junk. But then when I got down to the root of it, she was stressing. So she's stress eating. Well, you can't do that. And I understand stress eating, but you still got to give your body what it needs so that you can be whole and healthy.
You could be, your food will stress you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about substances that'll stress you, period.
Yeah.
You can be feeling fine. Food itself will stress you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So stress eating doesn't make any sense. You're just adding on to the problem that your body's having, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the body's always going to be trying to figure it out if you're putting substances that your body doesn't understand, doesn't know what to do with. You don't even know what to do. Why are you putting it in your body? Because who knows what? How something tastes can't be the reason why you consume dairy.
But it is for a lot of people. A lot of people will eat something because of what it tastes. I mean, for a perfect example, chocolate. People eat chocolate all day because of the way it makes them feel.
Chocolate is a fine antioxidant.
Dark chocolate, right? Not milk chocolate.
Huh?
Is it just dark chocolate or is it milk, any chocolate?
Dark chocolate has powerful antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
And antioxidants, I like to say, rather than antioxidants, I like to say anti-aging. Because chocolate will mitigate free radicals and keep your skin from breaking down and everything.
So, Warren, with you saying that, let's talk. Oh, my God, I cannot believe an hour is almost here. We have exactly, 6 minutes left. Let's talk real quick about anxiety and IBS.
Well, first of all, the cause is the problem. You have to find out why you have anxiety.
Right.
And then act on that. That's essential. Anything you do, you can't let... Medicine is going to always treat your symptoms.
Yeah.
Medicine doesn't have any idea why. They're not even going to ask you. They don't care what you ate. It doesn't matter. Here's this medication, and you're always going to give me medication. What you want to do is find out what is causing your anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you can handle, handle it. If you can't handle it, forget it because you can't handle it anyway.
Well, give my diabetics. For those of you who have diabetes, and you know you're not supposed to be having sugar and liquor and you're supposed to just be eating grass outside, let's talk to them very quickly about the best scenarios and the best practice for them to deal with IBS, if there is one.
I believe that you need to start optimizing your diet. And like I said, I like to use January and February
mm-hmm.
as my periods, my testing period to remove what you don't want from your diet. You can Google what you should be eating with IBS. They're going to tell you to eliminate dairy
yep.
and eliminate processed meats.
Mm-hmm.
You should do that anyway because if IBS don't kill you, then processed meats will.
Yeah.
I mean,
processed food.
It's poison. You can't, your body can't, it's a poison.
Yeah.
Your body can't handle it. She kill something in California and keep it for a year or two,
yeah,
period, before you consume it. You don't want to put that in your body. Your body can't handle it.
Right.
And if
right.
your body can't handle it, and it might be that your body is a magnificent machine, it'll try to work away its mind, work its way around.
Mm-hmm.
It'll send you warnings, and all of a sudden you're going to feel pain, and inflammatory pain, and acute pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go to the doctor, and they're going to give you a medicine to bypass that pain. But now the problem is that it's what the substance is going to do in your body
yeah.
after you bypass the warning system.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you never want to do, and that's where we are now,
yeah.
and that's what's happening.
And that's what people are failing to realize is that with all the issue and all the scenarios going on, when you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a pill, but the pill is not to make you better. It's to make you comfortable. And with every pill, there's at least 5 to 28 side effects. So you want to
medicine
try to...
Medicine doesn't cure anything. Your body is the only thing that can cure. Medicine doesn't cure. It'll stop what the damage.
Yeah.
But if you don't adjust the diet,
yeah,
and you don't change,
you're wasting time.
Exasperating it.
Yep.
You're just going right back to doing it. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. You know, it's just like, how do they say, it's just like walking through the mud. You know, if you clean yourself up and you go back outside and you walk right back in the mud again, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get muddy. You're going to have to take a shower. You're going to have to start it all over again. It's the same thing with your lifestyle. What do you think is going to happen when you sit down and eat that, you know, 6-piece of whatever it is fried with the French fries and the coleslaw and the 5 biscuits and honey and jelly? I mean, why are you putting honey and jelly on a, well, you know, I don't even want to know. So we've got 3 minutes left, Warren. I'm going to give you half of those 3 minutes. Tell the people what you need to tell them to be whole and healthy this week.
I think that it's time to reassess, and I know that New Year's resolutions and so forth and so on. I suggest that you start thinking about your diet. Start
mm-hmm.
thinking about being as healthy as you can. Give yourself a few months to be as healthy as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And direct your diet
mm-hmm.
toward that. And I say diet in the sense that everything you eat is a diet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no thing as a low fat, no lose weight diet. All of that doesn't matter. And I like to use, I do a modified Mediterranean
yeah.
diet, period. I started that some years ago, and I modify it because I get rid of the dairy. They allow you some dairy. I get rid of that. I get rid of sodium because they allow you that, and processed meat. I get rid of all of that. In fact, I wouldn't suggest for IBS people to do vegetarian because that's got a lot of fiber, and the literature suggests that you don't want a whole lot of fiber.
Right, right. Okay, there you have it, Warren Green, my co-host. I love having Warren. Thank you, Ms. Garla, for allowing him to come on for an hour and sharing his know-how and knowledge. I'm your girl, Victorian Russell Walton. You're listening to IITG Season Sister Speak. You can always reach out to us at 301-683-8690. I'll get you in contact with Warren if you need him, but just not on my days. And I will definitely answer all phone calls and emails. You can always check us out on our site. It's in the jeans. It's in the jeans.com, or reach out to us via email, do something@itsinthejeans.com. I thank you all for listening in. I hope you learned something about IBS that you didn't know before. And let me give you a tidbit, and this is my snippet for you for the week. And I had to express this to my son and break this down for him. Never take off your crown for anyone. They will just step on it. And what that means is don't lower your light. When you walk into a room of darkness, let your light shine. And two things will happen. They will either catch up or they will leave. But never put your crown down, because they will just step on it or they'll walk over it. And you have to learn to respect yourself enough. And what does that have to do with IBS? Treating your body the way your body should be treated. That is how you take care of yourself in the temple that God has given us. So until next Thursday, I look forward to speaking and hearing from everyone. Be blessed, be whole, be kind. I know you can't smile through your mask, but smile with your eyes. And remember, keep your crown on. stay focused. This is Victoria and Russell Walton and Warren Green wishing everyone to have a great week on purpose and to take care of yourself. Bye, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
Have a great Christmas and think about, have a great Christmas. Try to stay away from the fried food.
Yep, stay away from that. Get out the kitchen. Just get out the kitchen. Get out the kitchen. Get on out the kitchen. Just get out. So thank you, Warren. Share, like, repost, all of those things on all social media. Be blessed. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll speak with you shortly. Bye, everyone. Great show. Great show, everybody.
You okay?
Yes, sir. It's been a great day. It's been an awesome day. I'm looking forward to next week. It's going to be even better. So,
okay.
Yes,
I'm sorry. My equipment, the phone is working. The computer's working, so it must be something on your end.
I'm not for sure. Things happen, and then we go through and get through. So we got it done. It dawned on me to just call you and get you on the phone. So it's all good. Like I said, things happen. I'm not for sure if we're having problems in our area. I know that. I know that when it rains out here, we have a really bad connection. But it's sprinkling a little bit right now, so it's all good, Warren. I'll take it. I love it. We got through it. So next week we're going to talk about what are we talking about next week? I don't know. I have to see who's on the books. But it's all good. You came in perfect timing, as I knew you would. So we got it done. And thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, and I knew – we needed to hear from you, especially when it comes to IBS and what causes it and what we need to do about it. So,
well, diet issues are really huge with me.
Yeah.
And I know that death occurs from the colon up.
Mm.
Everybody ought to think about that. That's how it happens. You can protect against it, and you can control it.
I'm writing that down. Death occurs from the colon up. Wow. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
Never thought about it like that, Warren. Isn't that something?
That's it. That's how it
is. I got to post that.
That's how it happens. I'm not talking about things like heart attacks.
Right.
All of those, that happens, boom, boom. I'm talking about the slow kind, and that's where it starts.
So I never thought about it like that. Never thought about that. That's a good way of thinking and looking at life. But IBS is something that is really occurring now that things are going on with the holidays and cooking and not eating healthy and not really taking an interest in what you're eating because you're eating everything that Big Mama is cooking because this is the time of year that Big Mama cooks, right?
What are you eating it for? Food is only fuel. You have to know why you're eating it. I ask the people that we talk about dairy, what are you eating it for? What kind of nutrients do you think it's going to provide? They have a new term now, nutraceuticals.
Okay.
Like pharmaceuticals.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I've been saying all along. Food is medicine. And it's nutraceuticals. And I'm trying to suggest that there are foods there that can fix any disease that you have.
You know, it's funny you said that because I was watching, Gunsmoke. I think it was Gunsmoke or Rifleman. And I noticed that the doctor always recommended fruits and vegetables. That was his go-to. I need you to eat all the fruits and vegetables you can get your hands on, and that'll take care of scurvy, and that'll take care of your fever, and that'll take care of this. And I'm like, you know what? That's what they did back in the day. They gave you fruits and vegetables to make you whole and healthy.
And as a matter of fact, like when Columbus was exploring, they were not in trouble.